Our gospel reading comes from the book of Luke, beginning with chapter 15, verse 1 through 3, and then skipping down to verse 11 through 32. And it reads, "Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling, saying, 'This fellow welcomes sinners to eat with them.' So he told them this parable." Verse 11. "Then Jesus said, 'There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of my property that will belong to me." So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would have gladly filled himself with the pods the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands."' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still afar off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the father said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and get the fatted calf and kill it. And let's eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field. And when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound.' Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him?' Then the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has now been found.'" The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I come to you this morning with a sermon that asks the question, what have you learned thus far? As we continue through this season of Lent, every now and then, it's good for us to pause for just a moment and to reflect upon where we've come from, where we are, and where we're going. While we are reflecting on these three phrases of our Lenten journey, this is also the perfect opportunity to ask the question, what have I learned thus far? And what we will discover, if we're actually paying attention to our own journey, we'll come to a clearer understanding of where we were when we began this journey, and also where we are in our life right this moment with our relationship with God, with the final part, with the hope that we will have a better understanding as to where God is leading us. Hold on to those three phrases, those three questions, those three statements. Take them and tuck them in the back of your mind as we reflect now upon the young man in our gospel reading and the journey that he's taken. The parable began with introducing us to a man who has two sons. And after a time of contemplation, the younger son looks at his present living situation and comes to an interesting conclusion after a time of discernment. He decides that his life would be better off if he were to gather all his belongings and move out on his own. He decided that he had hopes and dreams and desires that he wanted to fulfill, but he couldn't do that if he was still living in his father's house. And so, after he gathered his nerves, and I'm sure it took a lot of it to do, he then went to his father, looked him in the eye, and said, "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me one day." He was a brave young man, because if I had said that to my dad, he would have said no. But much to my surprise, the father agreed. He took all of his worldly belongings, all of his property, he divided it in half, half to the older son, and then the other portion went to the younger son. With money in his pocket, a few days later, the younger son gathered all that he had just received and decided to travel off to a distant land. Let's pause here for a moment and do a little bit of reflection. Here we have the younger son about to begin his journey to make good on what I believe was a dream that he had had since his childhood. He had hopes and dreams and desires of being prosperous, living a happy life, doing all of the things that would bring him joy and happiness. Just out of curiosity, how many of us had similar dreams when we were children? You had these wonderful, big dreams about doing all of these great things as soon as you could get away from your parents' house and grip. Let me see some hands. How many of you had those kinds of dreams? Only a few? Oh, that's a shame. And then looking at where he is now. He was a young man with a plan. He had a plan that did not want to wait for him to receive his inheritance in the normal, traditional way. He had a plan that needed to be acted upon right here and right now. He had a plan that he believed he could not fulfill if he was still living in his parents' home. And so that leaves us with the question today. And that is, will his plan allow him to reach his desired goal? Joining back in the parable, we continue with the young man's journey. So shortly after he leaves his father's home, he finds himself in a place where he just believed all of his dreams would come true. He found himself in the city a place that he had never been before, but he had only heard rumors of. A place where he was told, similar to when people say, when you come to New York, if you can make it there, you can make it anywhere. So he went into the city, and it wasn't long before this young man squandered all of his money, property, and inheritance on a self-indulgent lifestyle. And as we read deeper into it, what you'll also discover is that he had a whole lot of help with people who swarmed around him to help him to spend his money. And to add insult to injury, after all of his money was gone and all of his property was gone, all of his friends were also gone. And then he looked up and realized, while he was all alone, penniless, a famine began to spread throughout that part of the country, causing him to fall upon even harder times. Realizing that there was no one there who would be willing to feed him and take care of him the way his father did, he realized that he would either have to get a job or he would starve to death. And so it was with that in mind that he accepted a job from a citizen in that country feeding pigs. Hey, we do what we have to do to make a living. Amen? And one day, while he was sitting there feeding those pigs, his stomach began to growl. And you know that you are in bad shape. You know that you have fallen on truly hard times when you're looking at the stuff that you're feeding these pigs and decide that, I could probably fill my stomach on some of this. It was at that moment when clarity of mind kicked in. There he was, no money, homeless, and hungry. But unlike the people who we sometimes hear about, he was in that position because of his own decisions, his own choices. And as he looked up and realized that, I don't have to be in this situation, he began to reflect on what he walked away from. He realized that in his father's house, there were servants who had more food to eat than he did, and even more to spare if they desired to do so. And it was at that moment when this young man took a look at his life and realized that it was time to do something different. He realized that if he didn't do something to change his present situation, he would never be able to fulfill that dream that he had. He would never reach his goals if he did not change his life situation. And it was with that that he turned around. I can only imagine him taking a couple of really deep breaths before he swallowed his pride. And he said, "Today is the day. I can't do this anymore. I'm dying of hunger, and I don't know what else to do. I'm going to have to go back to my father's house. And when I get there, I don't know what's going to happen, but here's what I'm going to say to him." He said, "I'm going to tell my father that I have sinned against you and against heaven, and I'm no longer worthy of being your son. Take me back, but just treat me like one of your servants. Hire me, and I'll just work for you. I don't want anything else in return, because I know that I've squandered what was due me." And I pause, and I ask the question, what has he learned thus far? Well, he learned a couple of very valuable life lessons. The first thing that he learned was that in the reality of his situation, every now and then, we have to first and foremost admit that we have made a mistake. But you know what? Even in the admission that we have made a mistake, it doesn't mean that you have been defeated. It just means that you have to look back and make another life choice. The other thing that he learned was that on the course that he was on, he would not be able to achieve his dream. And so again, if he truly wanted to achieve that dream, this was not the time to give up, but it was the time to look for another alternative. Well, beloved people of God, we know how this parable ends. The young man accepts the reality that he has to go home, that he has to start over, that he has to apologize. And that would immediately change his current life situation that he was in. And as he got home, his whole life situation was immediately upgraded. He was given clothing. He was given a meal. I'm sure he was given a well-needed shower. And after that, he had an opportunity to sit back and to plan a new direction for his life. One of the lessons that he learned, again, is sometimes when we look out into the world, sometimes we have to ask for help to succeed in those dreams. This is a tough lesson for some of us to learn, especially if your personality is like mine. I'm one of these people who believes that you have to do things on your own. But I found out at a young age that sometimes you need a little help from your friends. Amen? And then I also found out as I got older that I need a lot of help from the Lord. The second lesson that he learned in this journey is that there is absolutely nothing wrong with admitting that you have made a mistake. There is nothing wrong with making a decision to go back to where you came from to restart all over again. This is what he learned. And though we don't know how the story continues, and we don't know how this story will end, if this young man was wise enough to learn from his experience, I believe that when he goes forward to strive for his dreams once again, that the decisions he will make going forward will be a lot smarter, a lot wiser, and will not forget to include those around him who could help him, particularly in the case of God. And so, beloved people of God, that brings us back to where we are today. As we look back over the journey that represents our lives, I ask you once again, what have you learned thus far? For many of us, beginning with this season of Lent, beginning with Ash Wednesday, and counting all the days between then and now, as we reflect on these questions, do you know where you would like to be in your life in relationship with God come Easter Sunday? And then the next question is, are the things that you're doing right now putting you in a place where you can achieve that desired goal? And the last part, if not, are you willing to make the changes and the corrections that are necessary so that you can reach that desired goal come Easter Sunday morning? This is the perfect time to ask. The perfect time to ask because it's not too late. And if by chance you discover that you are someplace in your life today where you're not on course where you'd like to be, beloved people of God, I encourage you to first and foremost take a page out of that young man's book from the parable that we read. Go back, start over again, make course corrections. Don't just simply forge ahead. And one of the biggest challenges, don't worry about what other people have to say. Because I guarantee you, as you're trying to figure out your way forward, so is everybody else around you. And so continue to do what's necessary to make your life on par with where you desire it to be. But the second thing, and that is, don't try to do it alone. Go to God in prayer and ask God to give you the guidance, the directions, the course corrections. And even if you need to restart, ask God how to do that too. But if you go that route, try something a little bit different. Many a times I've driven down the road and I've seen people with bumper stickers on their cars that said, Jesus is my co-pilot, or God is my co-pilot. Anybody ever seen those? I would like to change that bumper sticker to say that God is the pilot and I'm just a passenger. And so, beloved people of God, let God take the lead spot in your life and you follow him faithfully. And what you will discover is that you are well on your way to being where you desire to be in your life's journey and your relationship with God. And so as we continue this Lenten journey, enjoy the travel. Make course corrections as you go, but keep remembering to invite God into it all. And what you will discover is that you will be able to achieve your goals. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for reminding us from time to time that we have to check in with you for course corrections and other things that will help us to be and to achieve all that you desire us to be, particularly in our relationship with you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.